I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. New Hampshire's largest health insurer, Anthem, released more information yesterday about its insurance products to be sold on the state's forthcoming health care exchange, part of President Obama's Affordable Care Act. 11 different plans were unveiled, rated from bronze to gold, all with different monthly premiums, levels of coverage, and deductibles. The idea of these insurance exchanges or marketplaces is to allow consumers to shop around for coverage. But in New Hampshire, that shopping is limited, since so far Anthem's the only health insurer participating, and the company's plans have also been criticized as limited. Anthem is controlling costs by offering patients a narrower list of providers, so you might pay up to 25% less, but you'd have fewer options of where you could get care. The activity around these health insurance marketplaces is happening across the country as states get their systems up and running so they're ready to enroll patients on October 1st, with coverage to begin on January 1. Today in The Exchange, the road to the rollout of the Granite State's healthcare marketplace and some of the bumps along the way. Let's hear from you, your basic questions about how these exchanges will work, your thoughts on what they might mean for you, and whether or not they'll improve the health status of our state overall. Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. We have three guests with us in studio. John Hunt, Republican representative from Ringe, co-chair of the Joint Health Care Reform Oversight Committee. He also serves on the House Commerce Committee, which oversees insurance laws. And Representative Hunt, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Also with us, Lisa Kaplan Howe, policy director for New Hampshire Voices for Health, a nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. Lisa's also a member of the Health Exchange Advisory Board. And Lisa, welcome back. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
And also with us from the D.C. area, Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News. And Jay, good to have you, too. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and Jay, if you could set the stage for us nationally, please. What's happening right now in states across the country with this health insurance exchange rollout?
Well, as you noted, we're coming up to something of a deadline here. These health insurance marketplaces that we've been hearing about, these online shopping centers where people without insurance can go on and shop for plans and sign up and in many cases get subsidies under Obamacare, they are scheduled to open on October 1st. If everything works as planned, you should be able to go on to the site in your state in October, look around, shuffle through insurance plans. A lot of people compare it to Travelocity or Orbitz, shopping for a plane ticket. They steer you through all these options, and you can see what the prices are, and you're also supposed to be able to see what the subsidies are based on your income. And as noted, these are state-based plans, and every state is approaching it in a little bit different way, and a lot of states elected not to do their own sites at all and sort of defaulted to the people here in Washington who are also setting up sites for those states. A lot of them are in the South that just decided they didn't want to have anything to do with Obamacare, and so the feds are having to come in and run it themselves. And we're hearing different things about how prepared states are and how they're moving up. A lot of people here in Washington are talking about this as kind of a soft opening. It's kind of a retail term for you're open, but you don't really advertise it, and you don't expect big crowds like on Black Friday after Thanksgiving, but you're sort of open and you handle it and you work out bugs. But in any event, you will be able to sign up for insurance starting in October, and it becomes effective January 1st. And everybody's sort of waiting and holding their breath, and a lot of people are working hard behind the scenes to get this done.
Well, and you folks at Kaiser Health News have done a lot of work just covering the basics, and we've posted a great sheet of frequently asked questions from Kaiser Health News of everything you might want to know about health exchanges. You can check it out on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And I want to bring you into this too, Lisa Kaplan Howe. Who are we talking about that may end up doing some of that shopping around that Jay mentioned? And just as important, who are we not talking about?
Sure. So any individual in the state who's purchasing insurance on their own can go to the exchange. Any small business, which obviously a lot of the businesses in New Hampshire are small businesses, can go to the exchange. I think in the first year, who we expect to see most likely go are people who may be eligible for those subsidies that Jay was mentioning, the premium tax credits, because to access those tax credits, you will need to shop through the marketplace. Similarly, small businesses have been eligible for tax credits since 2010. Once the marketplaces are up and running, they will need to access those through the marketplace as well. So the one group of people we know won't be shopping through the marketplace are large businesses at this point.
And small businesses defined as how small? Because sometimes it's under 50, sometimes it's under 500.
Right. So starting, we're going with our state definition, which is under 50. That will expand to up to 100 in 2016. And then the state will have a choice in 2017. Do we want to open the marketplace to large businesses as well?
So, Lisa, any individual who's currently uninsured can shop around, and any small business that currently does not provide insurance can shop around?
So anybody who's looking to buy insurance individually or through a small business has a choice when they're going to either newly purchase insurance or renew coverage, whether to stay outside of the marketplace or to go inside of the marketplace. But yeah, we expect those who are most likely to look are those uninsured people, those small businesses that want to newly offer coverage. And again, those businesses and individuals who are eligible for the premium tax credits to help afford insurance.
Yeah, and very quickly, folks who are on Medicare over 65, this has nothing to do with them. There's been some confusion about people on Medicare saying, oh, do I have to go on these as well?
Yeah, and that's a distinction I should have made. Yep. If you've got Medicare, you have seen some changes under the ACA, like the shrinking of the donut hole and the new preventive care services and visits. But no, you will continue to get Medicare in the same way you have.
Okay, so Representative Hunt, here we are, and Jay and Lisa have set the stage for us. What are some of your concerns at this point, now that we're seeing some details about these health exchanges?
Well, it's not that I have a lot of concerns. You know, we're part of the process for what we did in the legislature was we are one of those southern states that chose not to participate and let the federal government implement it because we were fearful of the cost implication for the state to put this up and running and make it happen. So our issues have always been pretty much meeting the deadline. So we had to figure out what the benefits were last year. We had to vote on what the benefits were. This year we had discussion about accepting federal money to help find people who need to sign up for it. But most of what we're doing now is ensuring that New Hampshire consumers don't see any difference from what they were buying health insurance in the past, which is that the availability through the brokers in terms of buy products. Actually, last night on ABC News, I was interested in saying that one of the big problems that might come up is that there will be a lot of people who might scam you and go after people to try to buy this product. And that's been one of my concerns. Actually, I wanted to use that federal money to help protect consumers from that kind of opportunity that I think that might pop up. But
a fake website that says, hey, we're a health exchange.
Well,
give us all your information.
Someone's going to call you and say, you're eligible, or, you know, hell, let me help you, you know, get this product. So, but otherwise, you know, the issues we're having right at the moment has been the fact that, is that anybody who is in the individual market now, already in the market, will be now in this exchange, which is not a bad thing. Theoretically, this gives them more opportunities. But what I think the big pushback, obviously, is the narrow of the network and the fact that here we are trying to make more insurance available for everybody, but we're limiting who you can go and get that service from. And so one of the barriers is not just the price, but the other barrier is access to care. And certainly in my hospital area, then they will have to go to Keene. I live in Ringe, in Jaffrey, that they'll have to go to Keene. They can't go to Monadnock and Peterborough.
So the hospitals nearest you, Representative Hunt, are not participating or were not asked to participate.
They were not even asked
in this Anthem
unlike
product.
Concord, which is a much bigger problem, which was they chose not to participate. And, you know, that I think that what's important here is just to know going forward in the future when we start hearing what's going on in the small group market, that the same thing is going to come up, that the only way you're going to get a cheaper product, if you know, if you want to, if small businesses are looking for more affordable insurance, it's going to probably be another narrow network.
Yeah, and I just want to let our listeners know that we had been working to get Anthem to join us for a little bit of the hour today, but yesterday they declined to join us. So there are some questions
to the Senate today.
There are some questions about the limited network. I wanted to ask you about that as well, Jay Hancock. Now, you know, in fairness, Anthem and other insurers have said, look, you know, everybody's concerned about cost. We surveyed our customers and they care more about lowering costs than they do about, you know, the inconvenience of maybe having to drive a little further to get care. What's happening elsewhere in the country in terms of these limited provider networks, Jay?
We're just now seeing them roll out. In a lot of states, we've seen what the premiums are, what people will be paying for these plans before the subsidies, and then you can go. I should tell anybody who's interested in this should go on the just go on Google and Google Obamacare subsidy calculator, and it'll bring you to the Kaiser Foundation's premium calculator, and you can figure out what exactly, based on your income and your situation, you would be paying for these plans. So we know a lot about the prices so far. We don't know a lot about the networks. However, the consensus is that we're going to see more of what we're talking about here in New Hampshire, which is to say insurers who are trying to control health insurance prices, control medical prices in general, by negotiating with hospitals to lower their prices or at least not raise them as high in return for guaranteed business. And it's a little surprising that Republicans are kind of complaining about this, because this is how the marketplace works. And the Republicans here in Washington have talked about increasing market-like forces in the healthcare arena for a long time. This is one of them. This is how it's working. We are actually seeing lower prices, 25% lower in New Hampshire, and it's going to be this tension that plays out, as you were mentioning, between can I go to the caregiver that I've always had, or do I have to trade for a new caregiver in terms of getting a price that's more reasonable?
All right. We will talk a lot more after a short break. And we'll start taking your calls at 1-800-892-6477. You can email us, exchange@nhpr.org, or find us on Facebook at NHPR Exchange. And we'll be back in just a minute.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. And what's going on this week at NHPR? Well, an easy way for you to find out is when you sign up for our e-newsletter this week at NHPR. You'll find out what the Exchange, Word of Mouth, and our newsroom are planning for the week, and also get a behind-the-scenes look at the station. Click on the Connect menu to sign up for our e-newsletter at nhpr.org. New Hampshire weather is sunny today, highs from 70 to mid-70s across the state. Clear tonight, lows from mid-30s in Coos County, ranging to mid-40s toward the Mass border. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Southern New Hampshire's Montessori Academy in Londonderry, an enriched elementary private school education that provides a path for your child's success. Details at snhma.org. And TransCanada, generating and selling electricity and a proud supporter of New Hampshire Audubon's initiative to restore nesting bald eagles in the Connecticut River watershed. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the next big phase in the Affordable Care Act, the health insurance exchanges, which are being rolled out. Enrollment starts on October 1st, with coverage coming January 1st. We're looking at some of the issues that have come up, and we want your questions and comments. 1-800-892-6477. Your basic questions on just how these exchanges will work, your thoughts on whether they might help you or not, and whether or not they'll improve the health status of New Hampshire overall. Again, you can call in 1-800-892-6477, email exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Jay Hancock, Lisa Kaplan Howe, Representative John Hunt, let's go right to our callers. And Joan's waiting in Portsmouth. Hi, Joan. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have one comment and one question. The comment is an impression that I'm getting from the discussion that these exchanges will be for people who are shopping for new plans, but I have the impression that a lot of the people who will be buying health insurance on the exchanges are people who are basically locked out because they had a pre-existing condition or because of their age or their gender, that it was so discriminatory on the private market that it was impossible for them to get health care. So I'd like that clarified. And my question is to ask the panelists, what do they think the prospects are for more plans to come into the marketplace in 2015, 2016, going forward? This is, after all, the first year. And I thought I saw some report that Harvard Pilgrim announced they were going to come into New Hampshire in 2015.
Right, Joan, great question. Yeah, and Lisa Kaplan, how to you? First of all, this must be disappointing for someone like you who supports the Affordable Care Act to see only one participant on the exchanges. So if you could address that, but also Joan's question, who else might come in the years after this?
Sure. So to start with Joan's first question about who might shop on the marketplace, anybody who has health insurance or looking for health insurance as a small business or an individual might shop on the marketplace. I think Joan's right that in addition to people who are currently uninsured and might be eligible for tax credits, certainly people who have been excluded from coverage on the commercial market because of pre-existing health conditions may look on the marketplace. And I want to just be clear, the exchange, the marketplace, those are really two interchangeable terms.
Same
at
thing.
This point. But we still will have an individual market where plans, carriers other than Anthem will offer insurance, and we expect some of those, at least some of those, to be the broader networks. And so most people can look both inside and outside the marketplace unless you're looking for a tax credit, and then you've got to get it from the marketplace. Having one carrier on the marketplace, not what any of us had hoped for, certainly a disappointment. We want people to be able to choose between multiple carriers. We want to see competition between multiple carriers. We actually are still waiting to hear about national plans called multi-state plans that will be rolling out starting in 2014, will be in every marketplace by 2017. So there's still a chance New Hampshire in 2014 could get more carriers. But certainly, as Joan indicated, we are looking toward 2015. Harvard Pilgrim did announce publicly that they are planning to get in 2015. And there are steps that our state and the marketplace could take to encourage other carriers to get in. And one place we've been looking at is our new Medicaid managed care companies. And might they look to come in future years? So it's a disappointment, but I'm looking at 2014 as a growing year. And Jay kind of spoke to this earlier, a time to learn from and to see how we can make improvements going forward.
Representative Hunt, you were shaking your head. Go ahead.
Well, it's just not true. In New Hampshire, and you have to remember, we in seven other states or six other states were different than the rest of the country. And that is that the vast majority of what was in the Affordable Care Act was actually already law in New Hampshire. And for instance, when we come down to the issue of pre-existing conditions, we didn't have that issue so much here in New Hampshire, because if you were in the individual market and if you were not able to buy insurance through an insurance company, we had a high-risk pool which was guaranteed. You can get into the high-risk pool. Now, you could say the premium was unaffordable. And that's a whole different discussion about, again, that the federal government is now subsidizing people with insurance. But for the vast majority of New Hampshire citizens, we did not have the problems that other states had in terms of buying insurance. And, you know, really the problem here is really seen when we talk about these narrow networks, is that what really differentiates New Hampshire is that we're a small state. We have a lot of acute care hospitals, 26 hospitals, with a small state of 1.6 million. That the cost of health insurance, the cost of the hospitals and the doctors, that's the driver of the cost. So I would say the one good news about having the exchange, having this new marketplace, is that we'll start to see how much the differential is New Hampshire is to other states when we see that our premiums are higher than everybody else's. And the reason will be not because of the insurance company, but because of our hospitals and doctors.
Well, here's an email that came in from William, who says, can out-of-state insurance providers provide insurance in New Hampshire? William says, I thought the ACA would break Anthem's lock on insurance in New Hampshire. Instead, it only seems to cement it. Lisa, can you address that? And then Jay Hancock, I have another question for you. Go ahead, Lisa.
Sure. And I think part of what we're all looking at are those national multi-state plans. And as I said, they start rolling out in 2014. There will be two in every marketplace by 2017. And the hope that other carriers see the marketplace roll out, either if they're already in New Hampshire, they may enter the marketplace or they may consider coming to New Hampshire. But Representative Hunt is correct that we have a relatively small population and that it has been a challenge to get new carriers into New Hampshire to make that investment to build a provider network. I do want to just quickly address the point of people with pre-existing health conditions. Yes, they could purchase coverage through the high-risk pool, and they paid 25% higher premiums for that. So they faced an even steeper challenge. So while they might not have been facing a brick wall, they certainly, many of them were priced out of
yeah.
that option.
Well, Joan, thanks a lot for the question. Lots of questions, I'm sure. And you can join us 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Jay Hancock, as you're hearing, particular struggles with these health insurance exchanges in small states like New Hampshire. I wonder what you're seeing in other smaller rural states around the country.
It's not just the smaller states. What we're seeing is a general caution by the commercial insurance companies to get into these marketplaces. In many states, there are only one, two, maybe three offerings at the most, and sometimes two of the offerings are basically from the same insurance company under different names. The big insurers, the big for-profit health insurers, Cigna, Aetna, United Health, are quite concerned that for the first couple of years in these marketplaces, the predominant the people signing up are going to be predominantly older and sicker. Because as Joan prodded us into noting that we probably should have mentioned at the top of the show, the whole key to January 1st is you can go sign up whether or not you have a pre-existing condition. People who've been locked out of the market because of existing illness can now go sign up. And they can also sign up at regulated premiums. The prices won't be as high as they are, I think, in the high-risk pool now. And so the insurance companies fear that that will lead to a disproportionate enrollment of folks with pre-existing conditions. They're highly motivated to sign up at these newly subsidized prices, and they're worried about what expenses that's going to lead to. Conversely, they're also worried about a potential lack of sign-up by what people call the young invincibles, folks in their 20s and 30s who are healthy, who lack health insurance now, who don't have any issues, and who may choose to pay the Obamacare penalty rather than signing up in these exchanges. And if that happens, the exchange, the marketplace, the expenses in these plans sold on the marketplace are likely to go up. That could be lead to losses for the insurance carriers and rising premiums in the years to come. And these larger companies that might otherwise have gone onto these exchanges are saying, we're going to take a pass. We're going to be really cautious. We're going to see how this plays out. We're not ruling out. We anticipate being in the exchanges in the years to come, but this first year we may not do it. That's a problem for states like New Hampshire with only one carrier. In New Hampshire is like a lot of states in that the blues are sort of the first to dive in. They already have a large piece of the individual insurance business.
The blues meaning Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Blue Cross Blue Shield Anthem.
Yeah.
So it's a problem in the first years. It holds a bit of promise in the later years if these exchanges take hold and start working. Maybe the national plans will come in and start offering products.
Well, joining us now is someone who has been deeply involved in this discussion. Mike Green is on the line with us. He's president and CEO at Concord Hospital. And Mike Green, thanks for taking some time out for us this morning. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Laura.
Well, Mike, why did you decide not to participate in the healthcare exchanges?
Well, I think as the discussion has been going this morning, there are a lot of unknowns about it, particularly this first year. And we decided not to participate because the rates that were being offered to us by Anthem were not rates that we felt were sustainable. We've always had a good long-term relationship with Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, always had multi-year contracts. And when we sign up and we get involved with a product, we expect it to be a longer-term relationship. And the rates, we just didn't feel were sustainable rates at this point in time. So we're proceeding very cautiously. We fully expect to be a participant on the exchange in future years. It's very tough when there's only one insurance company, and that insurance company really doesn't want to negotiate with you because they've got rates in their mind that are the rates that they need to be profitable. But if it puts us at financial risk, we have to be cautious.
So in other words, as you said in a recent editorial, the money that they were offering you to participate wasn't enough to cover the basic cost of providing care.
Well, we're very concerned because we really don't know what the products are. We know there will be a number of products out there. A number of them will be high deductible plans. So the high deductible plans have the effect that not only are you getting what we would consider to be lower reimbursement rates from the insurance company, but you've got a lot of balance billing you've got to do with the consumer themselves. So when you put those two factors together, we were concerned that we wouldn't be able to recover our costs, particularly if the people that do sign up for the product are those people that tend to consume a lot.
And Mike, I have to read this Facebook comment that came in a couple minutes ago from John. He posted this on our Facebook page. He says, I can't believe Concord Hospital has opted out of the health care exchange network. What a cop-out, says John. What kind of a reaction have you received in the community from this decision?
Well, the greatest reaction I've received, and it's only been from, frankly, three or four people, is their disappointment that they'll have to leave their provider in Concord to find another provider because we're not participating. And I feel really badly for those individuals. This is not a cop-out. This is really what we have to do from the standpoint of our long-term viability. We are the largest primary care Medicaid provider in the state of New Hampshire. We have a very strong and large financial assistance program, and we can't put all of our programs in jeopardy for rates that we don't think are sustainable. We would be glad to go back to the table and negotiate with Anthem today to try to get to something that's mutually beneficial to us, but that's not our situation right now. I'm very disappointed that people have to leave our community. You know, some of the hospitals that have signed on to the product, not just in New Hampshire, but in other states, have signed on because they see it as an opportunity to gain market share. And by gaining market share, they can offset some of their risk.
Right. More patients, paying less perhaps, but more patients.
Right. Well, we're not going to gain market share. We don't believe we're going to gain market share because we're so dominant in our market to begin with.
So that was going to be my next question, actually. At what point do you start losing patients because you're not a player? People say, well, I'd love to go to my guy or gal at Concord, but I think I'm just going to drive 20 minutes down to Manchester. You're not worried about that.
Well, I am concerned that we'll lose patients, but I think the number of patients we will lose is pretty de minimis, given the grand scheme of things. There just aren't that many people on the individual plan. And we would hope to be on the exchange no later than 2015, so people will have an option of coming back to us.
So what's next, Mike Green? What are your hopes for how this rollout moves forward, perhaps in a way that's better for you at Concord Hospital?
Well, I think it will be better for everyone if there are multiple insurance companies offering products on the exchange, so there truly is choice. And that the rates that we're getting are sustainable. Now, I don't expect the rates to be the commercial rates we're getting today, but I do expect the rates will be something that will be sustainable for us, which means they have to be more than what we get from Medicaid or Medicare today.
All right. Mike Green, thank you very much for your time.
You're certainly welcome.
That's Michael Green, again, president and CEO of Concord Hospital, talking about his facility's decision not to participate in the new health insurance marketplaces that'll be open for enrollment October 1st. We're taking your questions and comments about this at 1-800-892-6477. Emails are welcome, exchange@nhpr.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And all of you, let's go right back to our callers. Barbara's calling from Concord. Hi, Barbara. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Sure. Thanks for taking my call, and I want to apologize up front that I've just started researching this particular concern, so I may have missed some things along the way. But
Barbara, don't apologize. There's a lot of information out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm specifically addressing state employees and retirees in particular. We have, as state employees and as retirees, have been told for the last several years that the state has no legal obligation to continue to provide medical benefits to its employees. And as demonstrated with the last round of changes, our rates got doubled, our premiums got doubled, and the plan was changed substantially. And if you were a retiree and not on Medicare, it substantially changed one's financial situation based on calculations for their retirement. And I had called Concord Hospital when I heard that they would not be part of the network, concerned that if the state of New Hampshire were to decide to no longer provide a health benefit to its employees, they would be left in a situation where they'd have to go to an exchange, or the exchange at this point, which means that Concord Hospital, and I'm also told all of the physicians and providers in the city that have become part of Concord Hospital, would not be available to us. And
Barbara, let me jump in if I could, because this is an important question. And Jay Hancock, you actually wrote a piece recently, I think, on, who else might be pushed, encouraged, pick your verb, to seek coverage on these exchanges. And retirees were a part of that, that right now they may be getting coverage through their former employer, but in years out, they may be encouraged or told to seek coverage on the exchanges.
They may be. Thanks for calling, Barbara. The state of New Hampshire is like any other employer, and it is subject to the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. And one of those requirements is what the policy wonks call the employer mandate, which says that employers over a certain size, and the state of New Hampshire certainly is in that category, have to offer some sort of minimum coverage to their active employees. And so that's not going to go away, and that requirement will still be there in 2014. And the state of New Hampshire, as an employer, will be obligated to offer the same kind of health insurance that employers everywhere else do that are over 50 employees. Retirees, however, are another matter. There is no requirement under the health law to offer coverage to retirees. And when we talk about retiree plans sponsored by employers, we're generally talking about, or it's most important to talk about people who are 65 or under, because
okay,
once you
and
become
Jay, I have to interrupt you there.
Become...
We'll pick you up after a super short break and continue to take your questions and comments. So keep it right here.
This is NHPR 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, new efforts to curb the overuse of antibiotics in animals and people, and then a reader's review of Behind the Beautiful Forevers by Catherine Boo, all coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and support also comes to us from Wentworth Douglas Hospital, supporting healthy communities in the seacoast of New Hampshire and southern Maine, wdhospital.com. And People's United Bank, providing individual mortgage solutions for new and existing mortgages. People's United Bank, would know how can do. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. New Hampshire weather, sunny today, highs from upper 60s to mid-70s across the state. Clear tonight, lows from mid-30s in Coos County, ranging mid-40s toward the Mass border. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, we talk to renowned New Hampshire author Howard Mansfield about his new book, Dwelling in Possibility. It's about how we define home. Find us on Facebook at NHPR Exchange to join the conversation ahead of the show. And then be sure to join us tomorrow morning, live at 9. Today in the Exchange, we're looking at the next big phase in the Affordable Care Act. That's the rollout of these health insurance exchanges or marketplaces that you may have heard of. We're getting some of the details this hour, and you can join us with your questions and comments now at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. Also on our Facebook page, we've posted a great sheet of frequently asked questions from Kaiser Health News. Everything you might want to know about these exchanges. Again, you can check it out on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And Jay Hancock from Kaiser Health News, just before the break, you were wrapping up a thought about how retirees might be affected by these healthcare exchanges. Now, we should say those over 65, you know, you qualify for Medicare, you're all set, right? So that's not the issue here, Jay.
Well, it may be an issue. There is employer-sponsored coverage for Medigap coverage for those over 65. But it's more of a big deal for people under 65 who don't have access to any other coverage. And it is possible state budgets are under pressure everywhere. Federal budgets are under pressure because, in large part, because of rising health care costs. And one of the things that all employers are thinking about is lowering coverage for pre-65 retirees and, in some cases, moving them to either the public exchanges or to something that's called a private exchange marketplace, which we haven't talked about, which is basically your employer is still offering you coverage, but you get a menu to choose from, and they give you a fixed amount of money to go buy on this private exchange. You get to pick from different insurance companies, just like you do on the subsidized exchange, only there's no subsidies. And a lot of employers are talking about that as well, both for active employees and for retirees. That's a long way of saying that a lot of things are changing in healthcare. Some of them have to do with directly with Obamacare. Some of them are just part of the natural progression of what's going on, and retirees are going to see some changes.
Well, Barbara, thanks a lot for the call, and good luck. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, too, if you'd like, NHPR Exchange. And Lisa Kaplan Howe and Representative Hunt, I did want to get your quick thoughts on what we heard from Mike Green. And Representative Hunt, you know, you said that the hospitals in your area, Ringe, weren't even asked to participate in the exchange. Mike Green told us that he was asked to participate. He said no, because he said what Anthem was offering wasn't even enough to cover the basics. What do you think about this whole issue of some providers being shut out, some providers saying no?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, in the other comment, it would say what Republicans want. We want a free market. And so the free market pressures has always been, and we've seen this before with Anthem up in the Lake Regions. You know, there was a big debate there in terms of Anthem was trying to hold down their costs. Well, why are they doing that? Well, they're doing that not to pad their profits, as some people might say, but that they're because we actually have a law that says that it has to be their payouts have to be 85% of the premium.
That's under the Affordable Care Act.
That's under the Affordable Care Act. Now, in generally, insurance companies always operate on that. When it came to the individual market, which is really what this marketplace is all about, the spread was much wider. But in today, when we talk about, you know, even in the small group market, you know, the reality is, for both small and employers, that is that the insurance company is doing what we want them to do, which is to get the providers to cut their costs, run leaner and meaner, so that they can pass those savings on in premiums. You know, and frankly, this idea that you're going to find other insurance companies come running into the state is fantasy, because if Anthem can't get these hospitals to lower their costs or be willing to accept a lower number, how is anybody else going to be able to do that?
So you're saying the onus should be on the providers to get costs down.
At the end of the day, if anybody wants to know why we have high insurance premiums in this state, it's the hospital and the hospital networks.
Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an important point that what we should see and what we all expect to see and what Anthem has said we will see, and now we're starting to see the numbers, is that those savings that they're getting from providers get passed along in premium savings. And cost containment, you could do several shows on that alone.
And that's and we will.
That's a huge issue. I do want to make sure that people have a clear sense in their mind of how these limited networks may or may not apply to them, because we've been in this discussion talking about them being the marketplace networks. In reality, this was a decision that Anthem made for their health insurance plans, not all of them, but many of them, some inside the marketplace, some outside the marketplace. I think then it creates a dynamic with the overlap of having Anthem be the only marketplace carrier that it is all marketplace plans. But I think it's just important for people to understand that if you have an Anthem plan even outside of the marketplace, this may apply to you as well. The way we're looking at it, and I think it's very helpful and informative to hear from people like Representative Hunt who live in one of those impacted communities, because we have a few pockets throughout the state. And for somebody from Manchester who works in Concord but lives in Manchester, I can look at a map and understand how maybe the network still applies or still adheres to the state standards we have, but I'm not living it every day. So to hear from people how it's impacting them, because it really is a balance. We all want to see premiums become more affordable, and yet just having a health insurance card in your pocket doesn't do you any good if you can't get health care that you need within a reasonable distance to your home. So there is a really delicate balance that needs to be met, and I think we're all trying to figure out, is that balance being met? And what we will need to watch is how are people in those impacted communities being affected?
Lots of calls, lots of emails, lots of Facebook comments. Let's go back to our callers now. And Alan's waiting in Portsmouth. Hi, Alan. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Hi, all. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a physician that's just totally disgusted with this whole system, and because of it, I am leaving medicine. I mean, let's bring out the big elephant in the room, and that is the incredible cost structure in hospitals, and that hospitals now control physician fees and physician salaries. The hospital I'm most familiar with at Exeter, the CEO, makes over $1 million a year. That's double the salary of the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Children's Hospital. There are also 13 vice presidents, all earning more than $300,000 a year. Their entire interest in quote-unquote sustainability of costs is to maintain their salaries. If the reimbursements go down, they will not be able to get this golden parachute that they now get. And we're all going to be embroiled in this because it's self-perpetuating.
So, Alan, you're saying the problem has started a long time ago when hospitals started buying up doctors' physician practices.
Well, Laura, there's no competition. For example, in the Exeter area, if you don't have a core physician, you basically don't have care at Exeter Hospital, and they've monopolized the marketplace to the point that it is impossible for any other group or individual physician to practice. There's no competition. And if that continues, well, I agree with the representative. We will never, ever, ever have lower health care in this state, and we will never have the quality of care that we're used to because physicians are maintained by hospital groups and not necessarily by competition and quality of care.
Alan,
and
thanks a lot. Yeah, I want to.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling.
I'll take my answer off the line.
Well, it's great to hear from a healthcare provider because you're in it. And Jay Hancock, boy, lots of issues there. What do you think about Alan's concerns? He seems to be saying these problems started way back even before the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I would suggest that Anthem Blue Cross getting out its sharp pencil and developing networks that put pressure on some of these dominant systems to try to chip away at the monopolies that Dr. Alan is talking about is maybe a step in the right direction. Cost has been one of the biggest barriers to health coverage and health care that there is. And now that insurance companies are setting up these narrow networks and trading a bit of provider choice for lower prices, that may be what it takes to make some progress here.
Do you want to jump in real quickly, Representative Hunt?
Yeah, because this is the whole point. I mean, Alan is absolutely right, and that is that if the only way you're going to control price is you're going to deliver to the hospital, you say, listen, if we have less hospital than networks, we're going to be able to give you more patients. So even though the premium, what we're paying you is less, but that you're going to get more patients. When a small state like us, every time we've had an insurance company attempt, you know, an Anthem has attempted to try to, you know, go back and try to renegotiate, it's been a nightmare. The full page ads in the newspaper saying how terrible and outrageous this is. You know, it's the problem is New Hampshire citizens want their cake and eat it too. We want every hospital to provide every service. You know, if you want to talk where the failure was the Certificate of Need Board, which was created to control the growth of hospitals and networks, and they never said no. They just said yes to everything. And they say, well, if that will create competition between different hospitals. But the reality is competition can only occur is if we as consumers are willing to have a narrow network. And that's the end of the day.
Well, lots of emails that I want to share with both of you. And here's one that just came in from Marcia. And thank you, Marcia, so much for this. She says, Laura, you mentioned that the trouble with the narrow network is that folks might, quote, have to drive a little further. That's a dangerous oversimplification. The trouble is finding a doctor who is taking new clients. My health concerns aren't complicated, but imagine someone who has multiple issues, et cetera. So we should address that. Also, she has another question. If you are under the 100% of the poverty level, how can you get coverage? I had an accident in January. I'm recovering, have no income for the year. I read that the exchange is only for people with 100 to 400% FPL. I think that's federal poverty level. Who will cover these folks? Can they buy in the exchange? But are they still excluded from a subsidy? Marcia, thank you so much. Two questions. Okay, so the first question, she's right, Lisa. I mean, it's more than just driving a little further. In Concord, for example, you can go to the clinic across the street from Concord Hospital, but there may not be any doctors who have room for you.
Yeah, and it is really looking very closely at that. And we do have state standards, network adequacy standards that look at not just are there people that exist, but particularly for primary care physicians, can you actually find a primary care physician? There have to be two of them within a fairly close proximity that are accepting new patients. And so it, you know, again, and this is getting back to what Representative Hunt was alluding to, it is a balance. If we have every single provider in the network, then we're never going to see that helping to bring costs down. And yet you need to be able to have networks that are adequate enough to give people access to health care. I think it is important for people to understand that the true limited nature of the Anthem networks, as I understand them, relates to hospitals. And even though our physician practices are really significantly in a large part owned by hospitals, the percentages of physicians and other providers in the network are much higher.
Jay, to her other point about if you're under the poverty level, how do you get coverage? That's Medicaid, right, Jay? And that's not really dealing with the exchanges, is it? Or is it? Clarify if you could.
Not particularly. How do you get coverage if you're under 130% of the federal poverty level? You lobby your legislator to expand Medicaid in the state of New Hampshire. This is what the discussion is about concerning the Medicaid expansion in New Hampshire. And just to try to draw the border lines here, the exchanges are for people starting at 138% of the poverty level, which is about $15,000 a year in income for a single person. And if you're above that, you are eligible for subsidies on the exchange. You can go buy one of these Anthem plans that we're talking about, and if your income is that low, below $20,000, the subsidies are very substantial. If you're below that, like the caller, you are stuck in what some people are calling the new donut hole in states that don't expand Medicaid. There's this there's a requirement out there under the Affordable Care Act for people to buy health insurance, and yet it's not going to be available for folks at very low income levels. And this is what New Hampshire is going to be talking about in coming weeks and months as you guys discuss the Medicaid expansion.
Well, thanks a lot for that email. And here's another one from Deborah, who says, one of your guests gave out some incorrect information. The insurance companies are required to use 80%, not 85%. Of the premiums. I completed the Navigator training and just double-checked my training material. Deborah says, I'm a certified financial planner. I write a monthly column for my local paper, and I'm writing about the basics of the ACA because there is so much confusion and fear, After going through the training, I thought it was a very well-done piece of legislation. Deborah, thanks for clearing that up. Here's an email that came in before the program that I did want to share with all of you, and it gets to some of the confusion that we've been hearing from our listeners. This is from George. He says, I am very concerned as a small business owner. The print media seems to print incomplete information. My employee commented that I will be fined if I don't give her information by October 1st. Then yesterday I was told there are no penalties made October 1 or any time in 2014, but that nobody knows about 2015. Maybe that's a function of Congress in Washington, George says. He says, I find it very troubling that no accurate information has been released to the business community because as an employer, I have been on the state lists and federal lists for many years. George, thank you very much for the email. And Representative Hunt, to you, what are you hearing from businesses about what they need to do with this rollout of the exchanges coming up October 1st?
Well, that's actually one of the things that's on our agenda for the Oversight Committee is what are the implications for small employers. There was a rule that small employers are supposed to educate and inform consumers, their employees, about the Affordable Care Act, the exchanges. Turns out the penalties, if they don't inform, a couple of days ago, there was a new memo for the Department of Labor that employers don't have that obligation.
That's what George is talking about.
That has been September 11th. The facts came out on that's no longer going to be a penalty. But clearly, employers are going to be feeling their way through this, and whether they can get a subsidy or what they're supposed to do. I know that some employers are actually thinking about renewing their health plans prior to the effective date so that they would be able to maintain what they have for at least a year.
Well, George, thank you for that email. And for you and everybody else who just has some basic questions, we do have a sheet of frequently asked questions from Kaiser Health News. Check it out on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange. And all of you, boy, lots to go through. I think we'll be talking about this issue again. I think we know that for sure. Lisa Kaplan-Howe, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Kaplan-Howe, Policy Director for New Hampshire Voices for Health. Jay Hancock, great to have you. Thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure, Laura.
Jay Hancock, reporter for Kaiser Health News, and Representative John Hunt, good to see you. Thank you also for coming in.
Thank you.
Representative John Hunt, Republican from Ringe, co-chair of the Joint Healthcare Reform Oversight Committee. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Mikesell. Our volunteers are John Barrett and Alan Cohen. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Knoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Knoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, New Hampshire author Howard Mansfield on how we define home. Mansfield has spent his literary life writing stories that connect people to the land where they live. In his latest book, he explores the idea of one's dwelling, from mansions to condos to sheds, and how, as he says, they succeed or fail to shelter us, body and soul. Send us your thoughts by email, Facebook, and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show is next at 10 on NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from the Grand Family Stay Motors Lincoln, with an invitation to view the all-new Lincoln lineup in their showroom and on their lot. Stay Motors North Manchester, staymotors.com. And Plymouth State University offering new online programs in teacher leadership and a dual certification program in library media and education technology, registering now for fall term.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
It's 10 o'clock.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. Every year, more than 23,000 people die from an infection resistant to antibiotics. These are figures from a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For years, there have been warnings about risks associated with overuse.